Okay. Once again, my name is Scott Jones, representing the Eagle County Conservation District, Watershed, Colorado. The next guest I'd like to introduce is Clint Evans from the NRCS. He has graduated from K-State. He's worked for the USDA for 19 years. And in 2015, he came to Colorado as a state conservationist. Please give me a round of applause to welcome Clint.
All right, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, and I really want to express my appreciation to both the CACD board and the CSCB board staff, as well as our local conservation districts. I want to talk a little bit today. We heard President Van Dyke and we heard Commissioner Brown and others talk about partnerships and talk about tools in the toolbox. And so what I'd like to convey here this morning is that the way I see our partnerships, it's really like a fabric. And each and every one of us in this room is a thread within that fabric. And each of our organizations make up those threads that we can weave together to have a strong partnership. Chief White, former chief of the NRCS, used to talk about voluntary incentive-based conservation and how successful we had been through our conservation partnerships all across the country for various species conservation, whether it was soil health, sage grouse, forestry, you name it. We had had tremendous success thanks to those partnerships. There's a couple of words I'd like to add to that based on some of President Van Dyke's comments and Commissioner Brown's comments, and that's locally led. So if we focus on voluntary, incentive-based, locally-led conservation, I think we can continue to build those relationships across our organizations, and we can continue to grow our partnerships and strengthen that fabric that we've all worked so hard to maintain. And, you know, there may be times when we disagree and we get a little abrasion in that fabric, and that's fine. Chief Weller used to say conservation's about relationships. And building and maintaining those relationships is what allows us to mend that fabric and keep it strong and keep us all together. So NRCS and our programs, we're just one of the partners in this huge matrix. Our Farm Bill programs are just many of the tools that we can all use. And I want to highlight some of our accomplishments. I want to say I'm really proud. I've got a number of my field staff here today, some of our district conservationists and other folks here in the room. And I really appreciate all the hard work they do and the local leadership they provide to their conservation district boards and their farmers and ranchers and forest producers across Colorado. So in the last 4 years, we've been extremely successful. We typically obligate anywhere from $65 to $75 million annually through our EQIP program, our conservation stewardship program, and our ag conservation easement programs. The EQIP program has grown since 2015 from $26 million to 2018 to a value of $38.2 million. And we did that with the lowest number of staff that we've ever had on record for the NRCS in Colorado. Right now today, we have 185 full-time employees on board. We have about 46 partner positions that are shared with conservation districts, the State Conservation Board, Colorado State Forest Service is just bringing on 3 new employees for us to help with forestry. We've got some wildlife biologists through Bird Conservancy of the Rockies, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, as well as Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever. So we've got a real diverse partnership. Some of the other newest positions we have is with the Rivers Edge West out in Grand Junction, used to be called the Tamarisk Coalition. They've partnered with us to bring on a position out in Montrose or Grand Junction to help us implement some wildlife habitat projects. So we continue to look for those opportunities to grow that capacity. Because even though we got to start hiring last May, we had 187 employees on board in May of 2018. We advertised 24 positions. The majority of those positions were filled with internal employees moving up or moving around within our organization. So we didn't gain 24 bodies. We only gained about 4 out of those 24 positions. So one of the things we have to do, even though we're still getting ready to start hiring for 2019, we have to be able to fill our attrition and grow our capacity in order to fully staff our offices. But in that interim, and as long as we can continue to find willing partners, we're looking for additional opportunities to develop more of those
locally led partnership-based positions like we have through our agreement with Colorado Department of Ag, Colorado State Conservation Board, and the local conservation districts that many of you are in this room. So if we continue to work on those relationships, as Chief Weller said, the other thing Acting Chief Jordan always likes to say is that our people are our most valuable resource. And so whenever I started this conversation and I said, you know, every one of us is like a thread in that fabric. Without the people, without all of you volunteering your time for your local districts, helping us set local priorities to implement our programs and growing these partnerships, we wouldn't be able to have the success that we've had to implement $65 to $75 million annually in the state of Colorado. So on top of those Farm Bill programs, we also have the Emergency Watershed Protection Program. Over the last 2 years, we successfully implemented over $55 million worth of emergency projects, both treating damage from the 2013 floods, as well as the 2015 floods and fires that occurred here in Colorado. And then I'm proud to say that through a coalition of partners and support at the state and federal level, we were able to secure nearly $20 million to help treat damage from the Lake Christine fire, the 416 fire, as well as the Spring Creek fire. So that work will be ongoing here through the winter months as the weather permits, and hopefully we'll have all that on the ground within the next 6 to 7 months. So we wouldn't be able to do that, though, without the local leaders in those municipalities and at the state level. Colorado Water Conservation Board has been a substantial partner in helping us implement the Emergency Watershed Protection Program over the last 3 or 4 years. So we're really proud to have them at the table with us. I also want to mention a couple of things about Secretary Perdue. Secretary Perdue, when he came on board about 2 years ago, he came in and he said, I want the USDA to be the most efficient and effective organization in the federal government. So he set into motion a number of changes. They've consolidated our administrative functions for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the Farm Service Agency, and the Risk Management Agency to form what he's calling the Farm Production and Conservation section of the USDA. So Undersecretary Northey, that Commissioner Brown mentioned earlier, he's our undersecretary that serves and leads the NRCS, the FSA, and the RMA for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And I'm glad to say that, you know, we're getting that FPAC, as they call it, Farm Production and Conservation Business Center, set up. It's going to help us be more efficient with our human resource functions, our federal contracting functions, as well as entering into grants and agreements all across the country. So we're looking forward to seeing that evolve and grow as we move forward with implementing our programs. The other thing that Secretary Perdue and Undersecretary Northey have rolled out, they've set up a new website called farmers.gov. I'd encourage you, if you haven't been on there yet, it's in development stages. There's some information on there that you can go in and find out about the USDA and a variety of programs that are available. And over time, that site is going to be developed to where you as producers can go in and submit applications for programs right directly through farmers.gov. You're going to be able to go in and pull up your farm records, access any contracts or agreements that you have with FSA, RMA, or NRCS, and you'll be able to see all that information, have a user ID, have access to all that online. So for those of us in the Western United States and across Colorado, a lot of you drive 45 minutes or an hour to get to town from your farms and ranches. Having access to your records right there online through farmers.gov is going to be a huge advantage to you going forward in the future. For FY19, some of the priorities I let my staff know that I wanted to really look forward to implementing was I wanted to empower our district conservationists and our field office staff. I felt like we've, over time, not by design, just, I don't know, it just happened organically. It seemed like we were pulling more and more authorities away from the local level. And so one of my priorities this year is to empower our DCs to have more decision making. And we're also we're realigning in what we're calling resource teams. And those resource teams, essentially what we'll go from, instead of having an individual district conservationist in each of our 50 offices, as our staffing numbers have declined, we just don't have enough bodies to continue to survive in that functional model where we had a local district conservationist in each of our 50 offices and some support staff. Over the last 4 years since I got to Colorado, we've gone from 242 employees on board down to 185 where we're at today. So we've lost somewhere around 55 to 57 employees. We'll be able to hire up to 208 but it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time for HR to catch up, for us to be able to build that capacity internally. So what I ask for you is for patience, to bear with us. A lot of our offices have been working informally under this resource team model over the last couple years, as we've had a number of vacancies that have occurred, and we hadn't been able to backfill positions. And so, you know, our DCs were stepping up and taking on additional duties in neighboring offices. They were helping supervise staff in neighboring offices. And while I'll say it's not a perfect model, it's a model that I think we can make work and we can have some success. So as part of that resource team concept, we've made the decision this year to establish our general EQIP funding pools on those resource team boundaries. So rather than your local producers and district folks having to compete across an entire watershed for funding, they're just going to be competing for funding within fund pools in their local resource team. And so I'll use an example of Washington and Yuma County is going to be a resource team. Dolly Gonzalez, a district conservationist that's here with us today, Dolly's got a substantial workload in Washington and Yuma counties to manage for our Akron, Ray, and Yuma field offices. But we're going to work really hard to try and get the staff there for support. I'll say, Jim Cecil here on the CAC board, he's one of my common hecklers that likes to give me a hard time. And the first thing he said to me yesterday was, "We want Dolly back. We need Dolly back full time." And I said, "Jim, it's not going to happen." And while I wish I could say, "Yeah, it's going to," I could make that happen for you tomorrow. But what we are going to do is try to make sure we staff it in such a way that Dolly and the other resource team lead district conservationists have adequate staff, they have technical specialists that they can have access to, and hopefully we can continue to provide the great service that all of our field staff have strived to provide all these years. So we really want to see that model be successful. A number of our neighboring states had previously transitioned to a team model or a basin model. New Mexico, I believe, back in 2012, 2013, transitioned to a team model. Kansas did it in 2007. Oklahoma is just now implementing it, and Texas put it in about 8 or 10 years ago. So a number of states have proven that it can work, it'll be successful. And really the main priority for me and for my staff is to ensure that we give you all at the Conservation District and our local farms and ranchers and forest owners, that we give you that same level of service that you've been used to. Now, Jim was giving me a hard time. He's like, "When I went to the office, Dolly wasn't there." I said, "Well, yeah, she was probably in Ray." "That's right, she wasn't in Akron. I want her in Akron." And I said, "Well, she's in Akron about 3 days 1 week and two the next." So I said, "Why don't you call ahead and make an appointment?" He didn't really like that, you know, but if Dolly was his doctor or his dentist, would he just show up at the dentist office and expect her to be there? No, he would call and set an appointment. So Dolly, I'm going to bat for you here, that let me know if he gives you a hard time. And then, oh, by the way, Jim, since you're friends with Commissioner Brown, please let him know that we've got lots of vacancies, and there's one or two nearby in Yuma and Ray. So we look forward to seeing your application, Mr. Commissioner.
Hey, are you looking for qualified people?
We also have this great Earth Team volunteer program if you'd like to sign up for that. So. But with all that said, we do have a map developed. We will be putting out a letter to all of you all at the conservation district level to show you what our proposed resource team boundaries are. We're doing what I'm calling a phased approach. We've been advertising and selecting supervisory district conservationists to serve as resource team leads over the past 6 months or so. As that attrition has occurred, we've filled a number of positions. But I think we're at a point now to where that we have enough GS-12 level district conservationists across the state to where we can have a resource team lead in across 21 teams in the state. So we really tried to look at a common resource base. We tried to look at travel distances to make sure we weren't having folks driving, spending all of their time on the road to get to their producers or to service their offices. So when you see these maps, in most cases, it's 2 to 3 offices within a group. There's some areas that it just makes sense. There really isn't any other way to slice it. And the San Luis Valley is one of those examples, to where Ron Riggenbaugh, our district conservationist out of Center, for about a year and a half now, has been serving as the lead district conservationist for Center Alamosa and the San Luis field offices. And like I said earlier, it's not a perfect model, but it seems to be working. And I think if we can ever get it staffed appropriately, if we can ever be fully staffed on our resource teams, then the model will function a lot better than some of the growing pains we're gonna go through. So here's my plea, is please be patient with us. Give us some time to get staffed up. If you know of some partners or if any districts are interested in developing a district conservation technician position, please reach out to Cindy and Glenn and Nikki and the team at CSCB. And if the budget permits and I can continue to support new and additional positions, we'll do everything we can to get those on the ground. So lastly, I just want to close with just a request that, you know, with that lack of capacity, the NRCS has typically been out there in the lead a lot of times, and we still want to be there in the lead, but we also want to be right there with you shoulder to shoulder as partners. So things like soil health or forestry or range health resource concerns, in the past, maybe we've had adequate staff where we've been able to be out in front and be there to do all the soil health things that districts would like to do. Right now, unfortunately, we just don't have that capacity. So we need your help to help us keep implementing those various resource priorities that you all have set in your local conservation district. So my email is always open. A lot of you have my phone numbers for the office and my cell. Please feel free to call or email me anytime. And if there's ever a need to have NRCS at the table, we'd be happy to send somebody there to help fill that seat and be that partner and see how we can work together to strengthen that fabric and keep that partnership strong. So thank you again for having me, and it's been a real honor to work with the partners here in Colorado for the last 4 years, and hopefully I'll get to be here for another 10 or 15 years to come. And then lastly, I just want to close with a comment to President Van Dyke. I want to thank you so much for your leadership for the last 4 years and for being an unofficial mentor to me. You've allowed me to bend your ear a number of times, but I got to let you in on a little secret. I don't think Mr. Burwell's all that busy. Every time I call him, he's on the golf course. So, you know, we should really talk about this. And so maybe if he's got a little extra time on his hands, and now that Commissioner Brown's available, we can build a really strong team here for the partnership in Colorado. Thank you.